Baim Hashem Hashem. We are studying Sefer Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav Shalom, Zichuto Yagen Aleinu Amen. We are in the section of the Shira Ma'alot. Tonight we're up to chapter 122, Kuf Chav Bet. I'd like to explain the chapter. We'll go once through the whole chapter, just to get the gist. Then I want to go through the chapter with a few derashot from the Ben Ish Chai. And then I want to go through the chapter with a little of the secrets that are hidden behind and underneath the words of the chapter. So let's get the pshat first. This chapter is talking about the great city of Yerushalayim. Shir ha-ma'alot le-David. Samachti ve'omri li bet Adonai nelech. The Ben Ezra says, he quotes, that David wrote this chapter as the choir, that this is going to be the song that the choir was supposed to sing when they built the Bet HaMikdash. Some say it's referring to the song that they're going to sing when Mashiach comes. Shir ha-ma'alot le-David. Samachti be'omrim li bet Adonai nelech. I rejoiced when they told me, let us go to the house of Hashem. The Gemara in Makot on Daf Yud says that everybody knew that David HaMelech was not going to build the Bet HaMikdash. They knew that his son Shlomo was going to build the Bet HaMikdash. So they used to pass by David, and David would hear them talking. We can't wait till David dies, and his son will come and build the Bet HaMikdash. So David HaMelech said, even though they're praying for me to die, I'm happy, because I know when I die, the glory of God will be great. So he says, Samachti be'omrim li bet Adonai nelech. I was happy when they told me, let's build the Bet HaMikdash. Even though they were hinging it on my death, David HaMelech says, I was happy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along, and he says, David, don't worry. Ki tov yom b'hasirecha me'alef b'harti. David says, God tells David, one day that you spend in the Bet HaMidrash learning Torah, Kitov yom b'hasirecha, one day that you spend learning me'alef b'harti. To me it's even more precious than the 1,000 korbanot that Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring in the Bet HaMikdash. So don't worry, David, your service is even more special. But David HaMelech was a tzaddik. Even though they were praying for my demise, samachti, because I know they wanted it for a good reason. Omedot hayu raglenu b'sha'arayich Yerushalayim. Literally, our feet stood within the gates of Jerusalem. Omedot hayu raglenu. So there's different ways of explaining it. One way of explaining it is that during the holidays of Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot and Sukkot, the Shalosh Regalim, there were thousands and thousands of pilgrims that used to come up to Yerushalayim to celebrate. How many? The Gemara Pesachim says that once Agrippas, the king, wanted a census of how many Jews are really here in Jerusalem. So he told them, he wants, make a pile of kidneys from the Korban Pesach. Every Korban Pesach that they slaughter, take one of its kidneys and put it on the side. I want to know how many Korban Pesachs were slaughtered. Guess how many kidneys they counted? 1.2 million. Now, that's only the Korban Pesach. Each Korban Pesach, I said, had a minimum of 10 people in the group. So that year, you had 12 million people in Yerushalayim. Could you imagine the congestion? Could you imagine the traffic? Today, I think in all of Israel, you have 5 or 6 million. And that's in all the country. Could you imagine just in one city, Yerushalayim, 12 million people. The Gemara says that that was one of the miracles of Yerushalayim. It was an expandable city. Nobody ever said, Tzar li ha-makom she'alim b'Yerushalayim. Nobody ever said, I don't have a lodging. I don't know, today it doesn't work. Today if 12 million Jews would go to Yerushalayim for the holidays, there's no room. Where's the hotels? Where's the place we're going to sleep? But in the olden days, nobody ever said, I don't have a place to sleep, I don't have a bed. Everybody found room. But it says when they all came into the gates of Yerushalayim, there was so much traffic that there was bottlenecking at the gates. So the pasuk says, Omedot hayu raglenu, we came to a standstill. Omedot hayu raglenu b'sha'arayich Yerushalayim, at the gates of Jerusalem. When we were entering the city, we were omed, standstill. We were so many people, throngs and throngs. You know, the gates are very wide and very big. We couldn't move until we were able to enter. Omedot hayu raglenu, that's a praise to the millions of Jews that used to go to Yerushalayim. Another interpretation is, also based on the Gemara Makot, David HaMelech is telling us one of the secrets of the Jewish people at the time of war. Everybody thinks that the Jewish people win wars because of the effort that the soldiers are doing on the battlefield. Of course, you have to make ishtadlut. But the real secret of our success is because in Jerusalem they had the yeshivas. And in the yeshivas they would study Torah. And the power of the Torah is a weapon. That really gave the soldiers success on the battlefield. Omedot hayu raglenu b'milhama. Our legs stood stable. Omedot hayu raglenu, where? On the battlefield. You know why? B'zchut sha'arim shehayu b'Yerushalayim. In the zechut of the gates, the yeshivas, that were in Yerushalayim. Therefore the pasuk is telling clearly, there's no answer to say, let's draft all the yeshiva boys into the army. On the contrary, if everybody we drafted into the army, then we're in a less secure situation, because now nobody's learning. So you need the actual physical soldiers, Shem Yishmor Otam, amen, and then you also need the soldiers in the yeshivas simultaneously. Omedot hayu raglenu b'milhama. Lama? B'zchut ha-sha'arim shel Yerushalayim, that they were studying Torah all day and all night. Yerushalayim ha-binuya ke'ir shechuberet la yahdav. Yerushalayim is the city that's built up. You see, they were always expanding the city, and they always had to build more housing, because there's so many people that wanted to come to live in Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is Habinuya. Even today, it's always Yerushalayim Habinuya. It's always in the process of being built. More houses and more apartments and more construction. It's always a construction. It's always a crane in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Habinuya. It's always being built. But generally speaking, when you go to cities, you have the new part of the city and the old part of the city. You have the new district and then the old district. And usually they're not compatible. One of them looks very new and very modern and very, very clean. And the old section has a different look. And therefore it's very, very diverse. The pasuk says, Yerushalayim ha-binuya. Even though Jerusalem, they're constantly building new areas, it's compatible, which means it's united together. From the new sections to the old sections, there's a certain symmetry between them, that they all look, it all looks like it's one. Another interpretation. Could you imagine how many different sects of Jews came up to Yerushalayim on the holidays? It's not like today in our synagogues. We have a synagogue over here for Sephardim. Down the block they have a synagogue for Ashkenazim. The other way they have a synagogue for Hasidim. Every sect prays with their own. When you came to Yerushalayim on the holidays, it was a melting pot. You had every type of Jew, and there's only one synagogue, the Beit HaMikdash, and they were all praying together. So you'd think that maybe Chas V'Shalom there was friction between the different menhagim and the different mentalities. The Pasuk says there was a certain magic about Jerusalem. Yerushalayim comes from the word Shalom. It's the city of peace. Because somehow when you came to Yerushalayim, all the Jews would unite. The Gemara says on those days when the Jewish people would come to the Hag, Kol Yisrael Haverim, that all the people would become friends. Everybody would be united. There was a certain a cohesiveness between the people. Ke'ir shechuberala. It has the koach to be mehaber, to take things or people that are unlike each other and put them together and meld them into one pot. Ke'ir shechuberala yahdav. Next pasuk. Shesham alu shevatim shevteya edut leYisrael lehodot Hashem Adonai. The tribes, kisham alu shevatim, the tribes of Israel, shevteya, the tribes of God, edut leYisrael, give testimony, and they rose up to Yerushalayim. Why? Lehodot Hashem Hashem. Many people, they go on trips. The reason why they go on their trips is for their own personal pleasure, to enjoy themselves, to have a good time, to take a rest. The Gemara says that the pilgrims that used to come up to Yerushalayim on the holiday, they were the Shem Shamayim. Kisham, Alu, Shevatim, Shevteya, Adut Yisrael. What's the reason why they came to Yerushalayim? For one reason, the Hodot, the Shem Adonai. To give thanks to the name of Hashem. The Gemara says in Shabbat, why didn't Borei Olam put the hot springs of Tiberias in Jerusalem? Because then they wouldn't be the hot springs of Tiberias. They would be the hot springs of Jerusalem. They'll put them there. Or why doesn't Jerusalem have Perot Genoser? Perot Genoser is very, very delicious fruits. Why don't they grow there? They only grow in the Kinneret region. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the people that go up to Yerushalayim to have ulterior motives. Ah, go to Jerusalem, oh, there are hot springs over there also. I'll go take a nice bath. Well, you know what? I'll go buy some nice, delicious fruit. The Pasuk is saying the ultimate motivating factor why the people went up to Yerushalayim, Kisham alu shevatim shevteya etut Yisrael, why? Lehodot Hashem Adonai. They were the Shem Shamayim. Now, we have to explain, the tribes are called Shifte Yah. Pay note to that. That's a very big thing. They're not just called Shevatim, the tribes. Yudke is one of the names of Hashem. Yes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu attaches his names to the Shevatim. That teaches us that the Shevatim were all genetically pure. What do I mean to say? We were in Egypt for 210 years. The Egyptians violated our bodies. Avodat Parech. We worked back-breaking labor. The Goyim came along and said, if they violated their bodies, you don't think the Egyptians violated the woman? Who says that these Jews are even from their proper fathers? The Goyim started to claim that a lot of the Jews have Egyptian fathers, they're not pure, the lineage is tainted, they don't have a proper pedigree. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parashat Pinehas, when it takes the census, it lists all the tribes and their children and their families. One thing is common throughout the whole parasha. Do we have a chumash over here? If you bring me a chumash, Bamidbar, I'll show you the pesukim. It's kedai to see it for a second. It's in Perek Chavav. I just want to show you one common thread that runs through all the Pesukim. Perek Chavav. This came as vote. Avu Chamim, Yishtahavu Lecha Leumim. This came as vote. Okay. אלה משפחות הר ובני. בני שמעון למשפחותם, למואל משפחת הנמואלי, לימין משפחת הימיני, ליחין משפחת היחיני, לזרח משפחת הזרחי, לשאול משפחת השאולי, אלה משפחות השמעוני. Every single family is called ה-אי. ה-אי. Every family, go ahead. בני יששכר, למשפחות, לתולה, משפחת התולעי, לפובה, משפחת הפוני, וישוב, משפחת הישובי. אלה משפחות הזבולוני. So if every single name here has the prefix here and the suffix yud. Why? Because here in yud is Hashem's name. Yeah. God wrote his initials on every family. As if to say, the families are legitimate. Borei Olam would not put his name on the families unless he felt, or he knew, that they were pure. The Torah tells us there was only one woman that Torah pirsema ota, and the Torah publicized her name, Shilomit bat Divri, that she was a flirtatious girl, and she went with an Egyptian man, but besides her, everybody else maintained the Kiddusha. And therefore the Pasuk says, Shivteya. It's not Shivatim regular, it's Shivatim that have the name of Yudke attached to them. And what's that? Edut Yisrael. That's a proof to Yisrael that what? That all our genealogy was pure and it was untainted from the time that we were in Egypt. Why would Borei Olam choose Yudke? Because we know that when there's harmony between man and his wife, it says the Shekhinah is in the marriage. What letter is in the Aleph, in the Ish? Yud. And what letter is in the Isha? He. So Yudke represents harmony between man and wife. So Shivteiyah Edut Yisrael. These marriages were pure. They did not have any influence from the outside. Let's continue. כי שמה ישבו כסאות למשפט. כסאות לבית דוד. Over there in Yerushalayim ישבו כסאות למשפט. Chairs, thrones. How many thrones were there? So they refer over here to the two forms of authority. That's what the Radak says. Kisei Hashem is in Yerushalayim. God is the Melech and the throne is in Yerushalayim. And then the Kiseh Malchut, Malchut David, the Kiseh David. So you had the divine throne of Hashem and the physical throne of David. So that's what Pasuk says, Kishama Yashivu Kisot Lemishpat, Kisot Lebet David. Not only David himself, but all the future descendants of David would have their capital as Jerusalem, and that's where their throne was. The Gemara says in Sota Daf Mem, "En yeshiva ba'azara, ela lemalchut David bilvad." When the Jews would gather into the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, everybody had to stand. Even the king of Israel has to stand. There's only one family that gets to sit in the courtyard of the temple, and whose family is that? David HaMelech. Only if you come from the Davidic dynasty do you get to sit. That's what the pasuk says. Kisot lebet David. The chairs only are for David and the Azara. Everybody else must stand. Now the pasuk comes and tells us an imperative. David HaMelech says, Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim, Yishlayu ohabayich. You have an imperative, you have an obligation. The pasuk is exhorting us. Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You have to pray for the gathering of the exiles. Because when the gathering of the exile comes, then all the Jews will go back to Yerushalayim, and then we'll build the Beit HaMikdash. Until then, the enemies are always going to be fighting for Yerushalayim, like we see today. Everybody wants a piece of Yerushalayim. From the Arabs to the Christians, they all want a chelek in Yerushalayim. So it says, Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. You have to seek the welfare of Yerushalayim. Yishlayu uhabayich. Those that love Jerusalem, Yishlayu means they're going to be agitated. They're going to be upset until it's built. Yehi shalom b'chenech, shalva b'armenotayich. We pray for Jerusalem. Yehi shalom b'chenech, let there be peace within your walls. There shouldn't be any terrorism, there shouldn't be any attacks. Yehi shalom b'chenech, there should be peace within the walls. Shalva b'armenotayich. Not only a peace between us and the nations of the world, but shalva even is between the Jews themselves of Jerusalem. Lema'an ahai v'ne'ai. Then David HaMelech says, for the sake of my brethren and my companions, ahai v'ne'ai, my family, my brothers, adabberana shalom bach. I will speak for peace in your midst. David HaMelech is saying, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, we have to seek the peace of Jerusalem. Lema'an bet Adonai Eloheinu. For the sake of the Beit Hashem, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the Ma'am Beit Adonai, in order that God will rebuild His temple. That's a simple interpretation of the Pesukim. Let me read you one derasha on this last Pasuk. This is from the Sefer of Rabbi Shlomo Zarka. He wrote a Perush in Arabic on the Book of Tehillim. This he says over from his rabbi, Sidi Baba, he calls him. Leman ha'ayv v'le'ayat dabbir anashalom bach, leman bet adonayinu bakshatov lach. The Gemara says, Lo nechaeva Yerushalayim ela ba'avon sinat chinam. The temple that was destroyed was because of baseless hatred. Kol od sheyesh sinat chinam lo tebaneh. As long as there's baseless hatred, the temple will not be built. Ve'od amru, shekol od shebet ha-mikdash harus, as long as the temple is destroyed, v'yistayed b'galut, shefa ve'osher ve'tov, all the prosperity that comes down to the world, yored alumot ha'olam, v'yisrael metkayemim bedohak u'betza'ar mehashe'iriyot. During the times of galut, we can appreciate that because we're living in a Baruch Hashem, a blessed country. But throughout Galut, the Jews suffered tremendous poverty in all the countries that they lived in. The Shefa, instead of coming down to Klal Yisrael, comes down to our enemies. Aba bizman Beit HaMikdash, hefech. Kol HaShefa v'hatov yeyeh liYisrael. When the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, all the prosperity comes straight down to Yisrael. So what does David HaMelech say? Leman ahai v'rehai. For your sake, for my brothers and friends, adabberana shalom bach. You have to have shalom amongst you. Because if there's going to be shalom amongst you, so then what? There'll be two benefits. Lema'an Beit Adonai. Number one, the Beit HaMikdash will be built. Abaksha tov lach. And also the tov, the prosperity of God, will go straight down to you and will not have to be divided amongst our enemies. So the Torah tells you two things. Please get the message already. The temple was destroyed because of the Sinat Hanam. The key to our success is peace. And then you have two advantages. For the sake of the temple, and so the Torah will come down to you. So we'll be influenced by the good that comes directly down from Hashem. Now I want to read you some fascinating Jerash from the Beit Ishai, just to get a little deeper into the chapter. He starts like this. Shesham alu shevatim shevteya. What's the plural of shevatim? Two. Shevatim, the minimal plurality is two. Shesham alu shevatim. Shevatim is two. Shevteya is another shevet. So it's referring to three shevatim, or three times that the shevatim entered Eretz Yisrael. Shesham alu shevatim shevteya. Ben Ishai proves that the shevatim entered or will enter Eretz Yisrael three times, because it says in the pasuk, Shesham alu shevatim shevteh. So far so good. When did that happen? So he says, amazing. The first time that they entered from Galut into Eretz Yisrael is when they were sent down by their father to go get provisions when there was a famine. The Shevatim went out to Egypt. They got bread, wheat, Sheshamalu. They went from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael back. That's the first time. But it was not complete. Who was missing? Yosef was still in Egypt. Shimon and Benjamin. The second time they went out to Egypt and they got provisions, this time everything was fixed and now they came back to their father. But again, who was missing this time? Yosef. Shimon came back. Benjamin came back, but it wasn't complete. It wasn't all the tribes. The third time was when all the Shevatim came down to Egypt, and then Yaakov Avinu died. All the Shevatim left Egypt and went to Hebron with Yosef in order to bury Yaakov. So this pasuk over here alludes to us the three times. The first two times it was Hasev. The Aliyah to Yerushalayim was lacking, but the third time it was complete. Now I read the Ben Ishai. Ramaz la aliyatam shel Yisrael meMitzrayim uMeBabel shayu haserim. The first two times we came into Eretz Yisrael, we left Egypt in our history as a nation. From Egypt, we went to Midbar, to Israel. But it was temporary, it was Hasir. Because they would be followed by another exile. What was the next exile? Babel. In Babel, we went to Babylonia, and then we came back. But that Galut was also, that redemption was a temporary redemption, it was Hasir. Because the temple would be destroyed again. But the third time, that's when they're going to build the third Beit HaMikdash. That's already when the Shevatim are going to be complete. And that's what he says over here. Ki Shevatim kai al Beit Aliyot shayu haserim. Ach Shevteya. That's why Hashem's name is on the third one. Kai al HaShelishit shayta shenema she'az nekraim Shevteya. Vezeh remez la'aliyah HaShelishit b'merah v'yamenu amen. So you see the depth of this pasuk over here, Shevatim Shevteh. Nice derash. Next one he says. Ma'an ha'chai v're'ai, adab b'rena shalom bach. My dear brothers, my friends, we have to be peaceful. Adab b'rena shalom bach, we have to speak peace. To be united. He brings something in Gemara, Hazal. During the first Beit HaMikdash, there was a miracle, it says. A fire would come down from heaven and consume the Korbanot. The fire was in the image of a lion. Lion is the king. That was when Christ was on a high level. In the second Beit HaMikdash, Hazal tell us that the fire came down but it was in the image of a dog, which was on a much lower level. I'll quote. Mikdash Rishon, Shayu Ohavim Zeetze, there was peace amongst the people. Vayu Lomdim Torah, there was a lot of Torah. Haya Yored Min Hashamayim, the Mikdash Demut Aryeh, Veochel HaKurbanot. Mikdash Sheni, Shelo Ayu Osim Nesoro Shel Makom. Haya Yored Demut Kelev, Has V'Shalom, Veochel HaKurbanot. Veyadua, that the Avon of the second Met of Mikdash was Sinat Hanam. So what does David say? V'mana Hai V'Ri'ai, Adabbera. He says, you know what Adabbera stands for? Otiyot. Bayit Rishon Haya Demut Aryeh. Adabbera. Bayit Rishon Haya Demut Aryeh. Lema'an Ahai Vere'ai. When there was peace, when there was Ahdut, when there was Ahai Vere'ai, Adabbera. Na Shalom. Na backwards is in. In Shalom, in the second Beit HaMikdash, where there was no peace, Bach. You know what Bach stands for, he says? Bidmut Kelev. Then already it came down in the image of a dog. Nema'an Ahai V'Re'ai. When there's peace, Adabera. Which again is, Bayit Rishon Ayad Demut Aryeh. Na Shalom, meaning in Shalom, because that is in, Bach. Bidmut Kelev. Last one from the Beit Mishchai. Beit Mishchai is beautiful over here. We know once a year we're allowed, we're supposed to say the Shema out loud, including Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Vaed. And that's on Yom Kippur. Why? All year long we're at a lower level. Only the angels are allowed to praise God out loud with that shin, with that pasuk. But we're not like the angels, so therefore we have to say it to ourselves. But on Yom Kippur, we're like the malachim. We fast, we don't eat, we don't drink, we divest ourselves of any physical pleasures, we're wrapped around in the white talit, we look like angels, we feel like angels. On that day there's unity between us and the malachim, and that's what we're able to say, Baruch Shem. Says Rav Beit Mishchai. Zkutoy again alenu. Lema'an Ahai V'Re'ai. At the time when we have Ahdut with the malachim, Ahai V'Re'ai, Adabbera Na, I'm able to speak. Dibur is out loud. Amira is low. Vayomer is benachat. Dibur is Bekol Ram. Adabbera Na. You know what I'm able to say out loud? Shalom Bach. Shalom Bach is Rashi Tevot Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. Lema'an Ahai V'Re'ai. When we're equal to the Malachim, Adabberana, I can say out loud. What can I say out loud? Shalom Bach. Baruch. Elliot, check it out. Baruch. Shalom Bach. Make sure it works. Check it out. I'm doing double check. No, maybe I'm saying it wrong. Shalom Bach. As a bit? That's Baruch. Of course, the otiyot. Baruch Shem, Kevod, Malchuto, Le'olam, Va'ed. Shalom Bach. Good. Now, I want to take you to another level to explain this chapter. Incidentally, that's why we have the custom, Minag Edut HaMizrach, that during the holidays of Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuot, we say this mizmor in the prayers. Because this is talking about Samachti Bo Milli, Bet Adonai Nelech, Yerushalayim, Abinuya, praying for the rebuilding of the Bet HaMikdash, talking about the pilgrims that went up, the population, the rebuilding of the city. So it's appropriate to read that mizmor on the Shalosh Regalim. This is specifically a Shalosh Regalim mizmor. But now I want to explain to you on a different level. When the Beit HaMikdash was constructed and was built, the Shekhinah was begalui. When I say Shekhinah, I mean the Shem, Yudke Vavke. It's a Shem. There was revelation. There was open miracles. We know what the Mishnah says. When the Beit HaMikdash was around, you used to go to the Beit HaMikdash, you see miracles open. The smoke of the Ketoret used to go straight up. Even though it was a windy day, it wasn't affected by any wind or any gusts. Like a stick, it would go up. You wouldn't see one fly in the slaughterhouse of the Beit HaMikdash, even though there's blood and there's meat. We learned that the Beit HaMikdash expanded. There was room for everybody to bow, to make Oseh Shalom.
The flame never went out.
The Beit HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, the 10 miracles. However, after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the Shekhinah went into Galut. And now we entered a phase which we're still in now, which is called Hester Panim. Banuchi Hester Astir. No longer did the Shem Yudke Vavke influence us in its revealed state, but the name, so to speak, hid. Of course, we're still under the influence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not so obvious anymore. Through all the persecution of Klal Yisrael, people said, where is Hashem? Of course he's here. But it became, I don't want to say less evident or less apparent. The Hashkahaz always was Klal Yisrael. Every step, Emo Anuchi B'Sarach, everybody was with us. But that inyan of Gilui, Shekhinah, where it was so obvious, that already we don't have in Galut. I want to tell you what Rav Ari said. Rav Ari said, there's three names of Hashem of Hester Panim. What are these three names of Hashem? It's not Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the obvious, that's the revealed name. What are the letters before Yud Kei Vav Kei? You know what? To make it easy for you, I wrote it on a chart so you can see it. The first Shin is Tet and a Dalet and a He and a Dalet. These are the letters before Yud Kei Vav Kei. Is that correct? Right? Before the Yud is a Tet, before the He is a Dalet. The second Shin is the letters after Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is here. The third Shin I wrote it here. After Yud is a Chaf. After He is a Vav. If the Vav is a Zion, and if the Hair is a Vav. So far so good? So this is the Shem Nefneh, and this is the Shem Ahareh. What is this middle Shem over here that I have? Mem Tzadi Pe Tzadi. Matzpatz. What is that? There's a method of learning the Jewish alphabet through a system called Atvash. For an Aleph, you transfer it to a Taf, and Bet to a Shin. You take the first letter of the alphabet to the last letter. It's one of the systems of studying the Torah. The Atbash, the letter Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Yud turns into a Mem in Atbash. The He is a Tzaddi, the Vav is a Pe, and the He is a Tzaddi. These three Shemot are the names of the hidden Yud Kei Vav Kei. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of the Sidurim, I can show it to you after the Shi'ur. Rabbi Ari says, during the Ben HaMetzarim, the 3 weeks between Shavu'ot Asar v'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, that's when these three Shemot are the strongest, when the Hester Panim is the strongest. He writes in the last three Berachot of the Amidah, when you say Hashem's name, one you should have Kavanah with this Shem, one with this Shem, and one with that Shem. Ben HaMetzarim, that's why it's 3 weeks. The 3 weeks correspond to three different forms of
Hester Panim, and that was the Kavanah. We don't have these Kavanot because we don't have that Kavanah. But the great Tzaddikim, when they pray, they have this Kavanah during the Ben HaMetzalim. So far, so good. Did you ever ask yourself a question? Why is exile called Galut? What does Galut mean? Galut means exile. Why did they pick that word? Because when we're in Galut, we're under the influence of all these Shemot. When the Beit HaMikdash is around, what does the Pasuk say? Beit Yaakov. When the Bayit is built, Nechu v'nedcha be'or Adonai. Then we go in the light of Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's apparent. But in Galut, we don't have it. Look at the three Shemot, the way we wrote it now. This is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The letters before Yud Kei Vav Kei are this. Yud Kei Vav Kei equals 26. Shem Ted Dalet Het Dalet equals 22. This Shem equals 48. You see what I'm doing? I'm writing the name and then the name before. This is the name and the name after. So it's 26, and this Chav Vav Zayin Vav equals 39. That's 65. And the Matzpatz is 300, and the Shem that it's Atmash Chav is 26. 48 plus 65 plus 326 is 439, which is the numerical value of the word Galut. Gimel Lamed Vav Taf. The reason why Galut is called Galut, it is exactly the numerical value of all these three Shemot with Shem Havayah. When these three Shemot are manifest, so then we have a Galut. Is that clear so far? Now I'm going to tell you a deep insight in the Gemara. The Gemara says one of the happiest days on the Jewish calendar is Tet Vav Be'av, the 15th of Av. Tu Be'av. Gemara asks, why is... Okay, that's one of the reasons why it's the happiest day. Why is Tu Be'av the happiest day? So the Gemara says, Yom Shehutru Shevatim Lavo Ze Baze. There was a great war, we learned it in our Navi classes, between Klal Yisrael and the tribe of Binyamin. It's a civil war. We killed almost the whole tribe of Binyamin. There was nobody left. There was only 600 women left. And they were going to die. If they would have died, we would have lost one tribe of Israel. And really, we made a neder. We are not allowed to take anybody from the tribe of Benjamin as wives. So there was just a matter of a time, through attrition, the tribe was going to perish. However, Hashem, I'm mistaken, with 600 men. 600 men. And we said we're not going to give them our daughters. So this was a matter of time. The Achanim on Tu Be'av figured out a way that we can't give them our daughters, but they can come and take them. Oh, they figured a legal loophole. The tribe was saved, and now we're back to our completion. So Tu Be'av is a big day for Klai. So Yom Shutru Shevatim Lavozeb. That's why it's a day of marriage. Because that's when the Shevet Binyamin, they were able to come back into the Kal and marry into us. So it's a celebration day of marriage. That's the simple interpretation of the Gemara. You want to know the deeper interpretation? Tisha B'Av is the conclusion of the 3 weeks. After the 3 weeks are over, there's one day in the month where there's a revelation of the name of Hashem. During the 3 weeks and during the exile, we're under the influence of these three names.
for some reason on Tu B'Av, it's a futuristic day. On that day, Tu B'Av, we don't say Tachanunim. It's a very happy day. The Gemara says, Lo ayu yamim tuvim di Yisrael kahamisha asar be'av. There was no happier day. Why so happy? Because on that day, the holy books tell us, we get under the influence of the Shem. When normally we're under the influence of the hidden names, on that day we come under the influence of Yudke Vavke. I cannot explain to you what happens why that day. It's a special day. And what if I prove to you that rabbi in the Gemara that said, Ah, Tu B'Av, Yom Shehutru Shevatim Lavoze Vaze, that that's what he was really telling us, that the Shem Nistar now becomes Shem Negle on Tu B'Av. Guess what? Ta'anid Daflamid. How much is the numerical value of Shevatim? Shevatim equals 361. Matzpatz, that's one. That's one. The star is 300. The Shem Niftei Yud Kevavke, Ten Dalet Hen Dalet is 22. The Shem after Zchav Vav Zayin Vav is 39. The three Shemot equal 361. The exact number of the numerical value of Shevatim. Yom Shehutru Shevatim. It's the day that the Shevatim, meaning the three Shemot of Nistar, Hutru, they became permissible. Lavo Ze Baze. Ze is 12. Baze is 14, which is 26, which is Shem Havaya. Yom Shehutru Shevatim, the three names that are the Nistar, which numerically equal 361. Hutru lavo, they became permissible for them to appear. Ze baze, ze is 12, baze is 14. That's the day of the Gilui. Once you have this introduction, I can explain to you now this chapter in this context. Gemara says that when a person gets married, it's as if he built a Beit HaMikdash. Don't we say at a wedding, he should build a Bayit Ne'eman B'Yisrael? It's a building of a house, but the building of a Jewish home is like building of a Beit HaMikdash. So they say at every wedding, at the time of the Chuppah, at the time of the marriage, there's a great revelation of Shem Hashem. It's like a miniature building of the Beit HaMikdash. And when the Beit HaMikdash is built, there's a gilui, there's a revelation. I think some of the Ashkenazim or the Hasidim, they have a minhag that the women don't go to shul until they get married. You're aware of this minhag? Kacha, there was menhagim in different communities. So there was one great Rebbetzin, after she got married, so it was the first week that she came to synagogue. So they told her, what do you think, the first week that you're coming to Beit Knesset? So she said, David and Melech already talked about this. What are you talking? She said, Samachti v'om nimni, Beit Adonai Nelech. What are you talking about? How does a person get married? You have to tell her, Hare at mekudeshet li. So she said, Samachti be'omrim li. I was happy when they told me, li, Hare at mekudeshet li. You know why? Bet Adonai Lelech. Now I can go to shul. Now I can come to synagogue for the first time. The explanation, when a hatan gets married, he's actually acting out Shema Meforash. How? The coin in his hand corresponds to the letter Yud. It's in his palm, which is five fingers, which is He. He extends it to his wife to be. The extended arm is like a vav. And when his wife to be opens a palm, that's five. That's it. So when a person gets married, he's actually acting out yud, ke, vav, ke. So there's a revelation. Now you understand the depth of what David HaMelech was telling us in this tehillim. He was actually telling us Shira ma'alot de David. Samachti be'omrim li. There's a great simcha at the time of li. Hare at mikudeshet li. You know why? Bet Adonai nilech. Because at that moment, there's a revelation of Yudke Vatke. And at that moment, Shesham Alu Shevatim. Shevatim, which equals 361, which is the Shemot of the Nistar. Shesham, at the time of a wedding, Halu. There's an Aliyah on the three Shemot of the Nistarim. Shesham Alu Shevatim. At that moment, the Shemot become revealed instead of concealed. At what time? At the time of Omri Li. That's the secret that happens at the wedding. That's this chart over here. Samachti Omri Li, Hare Mekudeshet Li, Bet Hashem Nelech. That's why I'll tell you two more tidbits to this. There's a Gemishnah, a Gemara Ketubot, Daf Yud Zayin. Gemara says, Kesad Merakedin, Lefnei HaKalla. How do you dance in front of the Kalla? And the Gemara over there talks about how the Hachamim went out of their way to dance in front of the Kalla. They would dance. There was one rabbi called Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzhak. He would dance with three hadasim. He would juggle three hadasim. And the rabbis couldn't understand, what is he doing? But based on what we're learning tonight, we understand what the Kavanah behind Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzhak was. Rav Zera says, he's embarrassing us, this rabbi. But they didn't realize he had Kavanah. The three hadasim that he was juggling are representing the three shemot of Shem Nistar that at the time of the wedding he elevates. When you juggle, what do? You throw something up. How do you say to dance in Hebrew? Merakdin. Merakdin is the same letters as Merakdin. It's to clean the judgment. At a wedding, the kavanah of dancing at a wedding, it's merak din. The merak is to clean, is to absolve. You're absolving dinin, merak din. Merak din. You're cleaning the judgment. Bifnei Kalla. Kalla is Rashi Tevot, Ki Ladonai HaMelucha. That means the Kavana, when you're dancing in front of the Kalla, Ketzad Merakedin Bifnei Kalla. How are we Merak Din? So the rabbi would take the three Adasot to hint to us, Samachti Bo'om Nimli Bet Adonai Nelech. We're cleaning the judgment. We're God now. Ki Ladonai HaMelucha. Borei Olam now is revealed. That's why he did such an act. But with this we understand something else. When Moshe Rabbeinu was taking the Jews out of Egypt, Egypt was in exile. In exile were under the three Shemot. The hidden Shemot. When we come out, then we're back to see the revelation of Hashem's name. What did Moshe Rabbeinu, what was he told by Borei Olam before we left Egypt?
Pasuk says in Shemot Yudalid, Harem et Matecha, elevate Matecha. What's Matecha? Mem is keneged Matzpatz,
the Tent is keneged the Shem before, and the Chav is keneged the Shem after.
You're leaving exile now.
Harem et Matecha.
Now you could elevate Shesham Halu Shevatim.
When we come out of exile, there's an Aliyah to the Shevatim.
Shifteria Edut Yisrael. And that's the value of our marriages. That's why Tu Be'av is the day where we get married. Because on Tu Be'av, that's the day Hutru Shevatim Navoze Bazeh. The Shevatim, which equals 361, it was able to turn into Zebazeh to 26. And if at every wedding, it's a miniature building of the Beit HaMikdash. That's why we say Samachti v'omnim li. We love it when we hear the word li. Li, Zadeh Mekudeshet li. Because we know Beit Hashem is being built. And therefore what happens to the Shevatim, to the 361, to the Shemon? Shesham Alu Shevatim. Look at that. All in one chapter of Tehillim, all these secrets are bound up inside. You just have to have the patience and the time and the chokhmah to release them. But there's many more secrets that are lying under these words. When we read the Tehillim, we can't have all these kavanot. So we say, Hashem Yigmor Ba'adi. Hashem will finish the kavanot for us. We're just going to read it in the pshat. But anything that is meant, and trust me, David HaMelech meant this. All the derashot, when you write things with Ruach HaKodesh, he put all these things in every single word. That's the power of writing the Ruach HaKodesh. The one word can include many, many facets and many interpretations. Yiratzon, in Zechut that we discussed, the chapter tonight, of David HaMelech, now we're in the time of David HaMelech, is Seudat Melevei Malkah, that's Seudat David. Atkinu Seudatah Dehem Nushah Shem Matachat Matah Kadishah, Dai Seudat David Malkah Meshihah, we're going to go have Seudat David HaMelech now. And in that Zechut that we spent some time in Moshe Shabbat, Be'ezrat Hashem, Yerushalayim Ha'Benuya, Yerushalayim will be built, Ki Yesh Yechubel Al Yahdav, to the Kahal we say, Adabirana Shalom Bach. We have to have Shalom amongst us. And then Be'azat Hashem, the Mount Bet Hashem, for the sake of Bet Hashem, Abakshat Tov Lach, Amen ve'Amen.